From newsounds.org, it's another edition of Soundcheck, our live performance and interview series. I'm John Schaefer, and today we are in the Green Space, New York Public Radio's ground floor performance venue on Varick Street. And my guest is Angelica Negron, who lives in many musical worlds. She is part of the indie pop band called Balloon, but she's also a composer of contemporary classical music, and perhaps most intriguingly, writes music that doesn't comfortably exist in either of those worlds. And Angelica, it's great to see you once again.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming to my living room.
To your, yes. So you have been the artist in residence at the Green Space. In fact, today, as this soundcheck session is being released, so is the first of your L Living Room programs that you did in the Green Space at the end of September.
Yep.
As a composer of both popular and classical music, you're surely familiar with the concept of musical instruments. And yet, as I look around us, I don't see any. I see plants, I see housewares, laptops, little robots, which I know are robots only because we've worked together before. Explain to people what is happening here with the plants and the robots.
This is truly a dream set. I grew up playing violin, and I played a little bit of piano too, and then I was very curious about other instruments, started to learn how to play the cello, the harp, started teaching myself the accordion, but mostly just because I was, not that I wanted to be a professional accordionist or a professional harpist, just I was really curious about the sounds around me, and I would spend a few minutes practicing and a lot of hours recording sounds from those instruments, and then putting them on my computer, sometimes with like a cassette recorder, and then just manipulating them and processing them and having fun with that. So electronics that come from acoustic source have been a really important part of where my curiosity has been in sounds. And as soon as I start performing things with electronics live, I realized that I was not satisfied with the performance of just hitting spacebar on a laptop, and I had to solve this problem of like, and I'm still, I think a lot of the things I do are just attempts at me trying to figure out what would be an interesting way to approach this song visually too. For today, I also have special instruments. This beauty right here that is a total dream. It's a plant that Sophie Parker, botanical artist, made just for me to play. I'm a huge fan, so this is a great honor. And the same technology that I use for this plant, I'm using for the flowers too in those acrylic vases. And it's basically a little synthesizer called Ototo. That anything that conducts electricity can act as a trigger for a sound. So I have each leaf and each flower mapped to a different sound.
Because plants do conduct electricity.
Yep. Yeah.
So how do you trigger it? Just by touching a leaf?
So my body completes the circuit.
So this is all kind of theater. It's you're finding fun, interesting ways to trigger pre-recorded electronic sound.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that, because I feel that that's always been there when I started to experiment with these instruments, but I was approaching it more from a musical side, mm-hmm. As a composer and as a performer, and I didn't fully explore the theatrical or the performance part of it, and I'm very picky about when I use a veggie synth, I'm very picky about the vegetables that I want, and so I'm always thinking visually, but not to the extent of there's going to be a pyramid with acrylic faces, and this color of flower and this kind of flower is going to match that. And then also I'm going to be so lucky to collaborate with someone that's going to paint a plant for me to play and ask me how long the stem should be. Like those things I'm really grateful for. And it's really interesting to find connections between the songs, the soundscapes in the songs, the lyrics in the songs, and then the objects that I'm bringing in, because all of the lyrics are in Spanish too. So that's another thing that I'm mostly playing in the States. For me, it's another way of, if you don't know what the words I'm singing mean. It's another way for you to kind of get an entry point of the kind of world the songs live in. And right. How process-wise for me, it's I make different choices if I'm thinking I'm going to reach for this leaf or I'm going to reach for this flower. Or I'm going to now, instead of having a caldero, I'll have like a cigar box. I'm just playing with those.
I thought that was a cigar box. I'm not a smoker myself, but I think
I am not a smoker, but I've been to many cigar shops just because just looking for those because they have great sound. So there's a connection of the physicality of the object itself with then the process of the composing to it. The concept of a living room is that the set is also the musical instrument. That's also really made me rethink about, not only the theatrical aspect of it, but also the choreography and like, oh, the logistics, and now I have to get to this other side and how am I going to hit this button if my computer is hidden in the pyramid? And just, it's fun. It's a little chaotic at times, but the good kind, I think.
Yeah. Well, for folks who have the opportunity to watch either the performance you're about to do or the four performances from El Living Room, they'll see the pyramid, which has a computer hidden inside it, but outside are the plants that you're about to be playing. So what will this set consist of? Are these like discrete songs or is it, how does that work?
So this is a set that I would say one longish song and another short song. The first long song is called Sembrar, which means to plant. And it's about healing, like trying to find a way to heal by reconnecting to nature. And then the other one is called Pasajero, and it's kind of I see them together because it's this first one is Sembrar and it's very much anchored in Puerto Rico, and then the other one it's all about feeling like you don't have a stable sense of home and how that shift kind of can shake you.
Yeah. Appropriate for someone born in Puerto Rico, but living in Brooklyn, living in two worlds at once and.
Yeah, I've been in New York now for 15 years, long time. Yeah. Most of my family and friends are still in the island, and I'm actually really lucky that I got to collaborate with Puerto Rican artists for the set for this too, and feels special.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to get out of your way, and we'll hear this live set performed in the Green Space by my guest, the Green Space composer in residence, Angelica Negron. Thank you. Well, I'm almost at a loss for words. Angelica Negron performing live in the green space for this episode of our Soundcheck podcast series, live performances and interviews, occasionally from the green space when we can, where Angelica, you've been artist in residence doing this four-part series called A Living Room. So what you just played for us, is that a repeatable experience, or is it different every time according to what part of the plant leaves you're touching, etc.?
So each flower or plant is mapped to a specific, in this case for the last song, it's mapped to a specific pitch. So I have a scale in which I play with, but there's a lot of improvising within that, especially at towards the end, a lot of rhythmic play. So it's different every time. And with the plant, it's more textural and soundscapes. So that is very much, I have like an anchor texture that I keep coming back to. So I have a set structure, but within that, there's a lot of flexibility to play.
And the rhythms are being triggered. They're being played by these little robotic devices under the cigar box and the housewares.
Yeah, those, Nick calls them surface poppers, and they have a solenoid that goes up and down, and I program rhythms on the computer, and then that solenoid goes up and down in that rhythm, so whatever is on top of it, it's just making that rhythm. Yeah, so they're also going on the hidden computer in the pyramid.
But how are you triggering that? Is that also by touching one of the plants, or?
No, they start. They're programmed in along with some other textures that I have going on. So once I hit spacebar, then It's
so kind of in like, 10 minutes, hope everything works. Rhythm number three starts whether you're ready or not.
Yes, yeah.
I get it.
So they're always actually perfect when they work. They have they have a life of their own, but once they're going, yeah, they never miss a beat.
and again, the name of the first song, the longer one was?
Sembrar. And then the very last one, and that was connected to it, is called Pasajero, right, which translates to fleeting or passenger.
So working like this, you know, and again, just to repeat what you said before, plants do conduct electricity. When you touch a leaf or, you know, the flowers, you're completing a circuit, mm-hmm, opening almost like an old noise gate, right? In the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. It's capacitive sensing technology. So very similar to what smartphones have, but in a different way. So I'm basically completing the circuit when I touch the object, and that triggers the sound that I have on my computer.
Right. The old noise gates, you'd have like a tape rolling constantly, and you would only hear it when the gate opened.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you had to trigger something,
yep,
to open that gate. It was an electrical device.
Yeah, the feeling of something triggering something and action,
right,
behind a sound is,
right,
always fascinating to me.
Yeah. So how much, if at all, has that affected the writing that you do for more conventional ensembles, whether that be a band like Balloon or a big band like the Dallas Symphony?
Mm-hmm. Well, for many years, I kind of kept all these different worlds separate, and that was not a good idea. I just felt that I wasn't being true to who I was as an artist. So once I stopped kind of caring about those imaginary boundaries, really, everything sort of made sense. And I feel the work I do in Balloon infiltrates in my solo stuff a lot. Balloon is collaborative. It's with my best friends too. If I think of more conventional instrumentations like an orchestra, I'm always trying to find the textures that I'm drawn to with orchestral instruments too. So that's, even if the piece doesn't have electronics, then I'm kind of trying to get, like for example, a lot of the things that I'm triggering come from an acoustic source, and there are a lot of found sounds and found objects that are manipulated and voices and, with some really simple processing, I'm like thinking sometimes like, okay, what would, like a brass chord in an orchestra sound like if it were a sample of a Hildegard chant with echo?
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thinking is just, it's not that I'm doing it on purpose. It's when I embrace that, that's just the way I think and the way I am and the way I see sound.
I like that, the way I see sound. And here we are surrounded by this kind of like visual playhouse that you've set up here in the green space. Once again, for folks who want to see what they've just heard, watch the video on our website, newsounds.org, or on our YouTube channel. And the four shows of El Living Room, done in the green space, are being released digitally on four consecutive Thursdays, beginning today, and will be available for on-demand listening and viewing as well on the Greenspace website, which is thegreenspace.org. Angelica Negron, the artist in residence at the Greenspace, you'll be back here in December because our sister station, our classical station, WQXR, you're writing a little piece for acoustic instruments for their 85th birthday, which I'll look forward to hearing and seeing then. But
very excited about that.
Yeah. It's great to see you, and thank you so much for performing
for us. Thank you so much for having me.
Just a little more from Angelica's band, Balloon, in the background. Do check out the videos. They're just so much fun to watch. What you just heard is on our website, newsounds.org, or the New Sounds YouTube channel. And, of course, thegreenspace.org for the four-part series, El Living Room. My thanks to our technical director, Irene Trudell, our video director, David McLean, our producer, Karen Havlick, Jennifer Sendro, and the staff of The Green Space, including Ricardo Fernandez, Utsuki Otsuka, and Chase Kulpan. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.